Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
So, remember last week we discussed the following. Genuine forgiveness and reconciliation is a two-person transaction. And this happens is enabled by an apology. I thought today a really good word picture would be this for you. Apology is the bridge from forgiveness to reconciliation. Isn't that a good picture? So easy to see in our human relationships. And the definition of apology that we talked about was a regretful acknowledgement of an offense or a failure. We sometimes have quoted one verse in the Bible when we talk about forgiveness, and that's Matthew 16, where Jesus said, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now we need to take that verse and with all the rest of the scripture of teaching on forgiveness, because we are, as Christians, instructed to forgive others in the same manner that God forgives us. And how does God forgive us? 1 John 1:9, we read, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Nothing, to recap, in the Old or New Testament indicates that God forgives sins of people who do not confess and repent of their sins. And in the scripture that I read in Chronicles, King Solomon prayed such a beautiful, beautiful, lengthy prayer, and he did ask the Lord to forgive the people for their sin. He did that, and then the Lord answered. However, like Jesus indicated in Matthew, we must always be willing to forgive. When I talk about the five languages of apology, what I said last week too was that we're talking, I called it the bread and butter of relationship issues. I'm not talking specifically here today of things when people have been hurt so deeply that they do need therapy and they need counseling. And sometimes that deep healing takes work. And it even does in the calling them bread and butter issues. Jesus said, "Forgive them, for they do not know what they do." So that was Jesus's heart. He was willing to forgive. Sometimes a person might not so easily be able to grant forgiveness because in some cases, the person that offended them maybe has passed away, has died, and you can't go back and reconcile it. So those things have to be left at the cross. But if we really want freedom, we have to be able to forgive. We really must, because the other person that we have maybe something there's blocking our relationship, they might not even be aware, and here we are stuck. And we can do this with the help of the Holy Spirit. We covered last week the first three languages or ways that we ask or require an apology to happen. And remember, it's thinking about how do you apologize, and how do you like to receive the apology. And the first one is expressing regret, and that's simply to say, "I am sorry," but you are regretful. Now, a little note about culture. In Germany, when I was visiting, you know, here in Canada, we're so polite. We say, "I'm sorry," for a lot of things. We let people ahead of us in line. That is not so in German culture. As a matter of fact, you give offense, like I did to my dad, when I waited and waited for other people to pass me into the C train. And he said, "We don't do that here. We just go." So it's culture. There's different cultures. In the north, I read about a culture that you can go into their home if you're hungry and you're traveling and you have no food, and you can just help yourself to the food. You never have to say, "I'm sorry, I took your food." It isn't considered stealing. Now, one of my neighbors came into my house and said they were hungry and opened the fridge and helped themselves. I might think, "What are you doing?" But so consider culture. What we have to think about all of them is, are you sincere when you say it? Even the trivials, seemingly trivials, "I'm sorry," when you bump into someone. For myself, when I tell you I'm sorry, I really mean it. I am sorry. I'm sorry that I hurt you. I'm sorry that I didn't say good morning. You know, some of us tend to say "I'm sorry" maybe too many times, but if we're sincere, that's okay. It's better to be polite. Also, we had to consider that it's not always something to do with morality. When we offend someone, we might not have broken a moral code. But all people, all over the world, every culture has a sense of morality, and we call that a conscience, but in biblical theology, it is the imprint of the divine. We read in Ecclesiastes, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts." There is in every human being a sense of right and wrong, the eternal. We all experience a sense of injustice or anger when our rights have been violated. You know, it bugs me about me, but when I stop my car and let people cross, I get really so easily offended when they don't say thank you. I'm working on that because I think I stopped for them, so I gave them the right to cross. Why do I now demand an apology or a thank you, right? So I'm working on that. And as Christians, we want to model the reconciliation that has been given to us by God through the wonderful work of Jesus Christ. How can we do that? By modeling our own willingness to walk in restored and healed relationships with the people in our families and all other relationships. Because 2 Corinthians teaches us all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's a pretty big ministry to have, and God gave that to us. The second apology language was accepting responsibility, and we practice saying, what are we practicing? "I was wrong." Let's say it. "I was wrong." We cannot offer excuses or use the word "but." "I was wrong, but I wouldn't have done that if." And then the third language was making restitution. What can I do to make it right? And we also learned that the offended person will often have an idea of how to make it right. We can't use our own ideas. We have to use the idea or whatever the other person needs to make it right. Of course, it can get ridiculous. But I'm saying at home and with your families, you can have fun with that. As spouses and friends, have a little fun with that. Today, we're going to talk about the other two languages. Genuinely repenting. And that means from your heart to say, "I'll try not to do that again." And then one of the hardest things to do is requesting forgiveness, saying, "Will you please forgive me?" And genuinely repenting can sometimes look like a little bit of a hamster wheel, because we can argue with someone over the same thing over and over and over again, and nothing ever gets resolved. What's so upsetting about that is not maybe the offending action, but the repetition of it. If, this is just an if, because it has not ever happened in our home, But if a certain someone left the toilet seat up and I wander in the dark to have a little body break and I come to sit down with a thump, I really, after maybe the third or fourth time, do not want to hear I'm sorry. What I really want is for that toilet seat to be down. So it can happen that we don't want that apology, but we want not that action to happen again. The word repentance means to turn around or to change one's mind. And in the context of an apology, the person realizes that their behavior causes upset or pain. So in the aforementioned, which never happened scenario, a certain someone would think, that cry in the dark has caused someone pain. I do not want that to happen again. And that person would have an aha light bulb moment. The person would regret the pain their action caused, and the person would choose to change their behavior. How do we speak that language? If you've noticed, these languages of apology get kind of a little bit harder and harder to learn because it requires more of us the deeper we get. How do we speak the language of repentance? First, we have to understand that repentance is a biblical foundational precept. We find the word repentance. The Lord asks us to repent. We must repent. In 2 Corinthians, we read this amazing verse. For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow. But worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. The Apostle Paul writes, just see what this godly sorrow produced in you. Such earnestness, such concern to clear yourselves, such indignation, such alarm, such longing to see me, such zeal, and such a readiness to punish wrong. You show that you have done everything necessary to make things right. It begins with the expression of intent to change, much like the other language we talked about. You think in your heart, I want to change. And I think the Holy Spirit prompts us, gives us that prompting, we want to change. When we say that, we're giving the other person a glimpse of what's going inside of our heart. Godly sorrow begins in our heart, and this wrongdoing causing offense leads us to repentance. We decide with God's help, a decision has been made, we will change, no more excuses. And I mentioned this last week, we think, I'm sincere, I'm not going to tell the other person about it, maybe I'll surprise them. But if we don't tell the other person, they don't know you're going to surprise them. They might still question your sincerity because we can't read each other's mind. But here's another thing that we remember when we have been offended. In Psalm 103, we read, the Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. So we can be tender and compassionate to each other. And if you have offended someone and you want to change your ways, you can ask them to be patient with you. It takes time. Real change takes time. And that's okay. You know, Mr. Chris and I, when we want to help each other and change our ways, we've come to understand that some things can't happen instantly because we have had years and years and years of the same behavior. So we can say, can you be patient with me, please, for your friends, your children, your spouses? God remembers we are only dust. And we also have to remember that not only moral failures, but we can also apologize for those little irritations from each other. If it because it'll put up something between you and the relationship can't go forward. In healthy relationships, we make changes that have nothing to do with morality issues, but everything to do always with building healthy relationships, always. And sometimes we think, I'm going to apologize. Sure, Pastor Chris, I buy that. But I'm not going to change because what I'm doing isn't actually wrong. For example, I like teasing people. They have to get used to it. Now, you would receive teasing in a playful manner, but to some people, especially some kids, it fills them with such anxiety and embarrassment. We have grandchildren who love to be teased, and then we have grandchildren who can't stand it. It embarrasses them, it makes them cry. And it is not our job to get them to toughen up so they'll understand teasing. That's not the right thing to do. There's another example. I've asked you to call when I will be late. You promised me you would do that, but you often forget and say, it wasn't a big deal, I was okay. Calling might not be a big deal to you or I, but when we know it's a big deal to the other person, not to do that is not the right thing to do. And then also with the other language of apology, this one requires a plan for implementing change. And apologies often fail to really, for the other person to believe you're sincere, is because you didn't make a plan. You didn't make a plan to change. And the desire to change is not made real until a plan is adopted for making change. Now, they don't need to be elaborate. We do not require new jewelry every time our husband has offended us. We do not need to ask for these crazy big things. Those plans don't need to be elaborate, but here they need to be very specific. And remember, we talked about Zacchaeus. His plan to pay money back was so specific. He said, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." So his plan was elaborate and his plan was very generous. And number three, what Zacchaeus did, we need to implement the plan. We need to make it happen. And this step requires thought and action. So my crazy little example about leaving the toilet seat up, maybe a note could be written, place the note where it is visible, that would say, put the seat down. And help ask the other person, you know, can you help me come up with a plan? I'm not sure really what it is I can do to make things better. And the offended person will most likely have a plan. And it's the best way to effectively show repentance. And then you have to follow through with a plan. That gives evidence that the apology was sincere. It is sometimes really, really hard to admit wrong, but we can do this with the help of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 46:1 tells us, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. In conflict or relationships that are stuck, I think we can call that times of trouble. We need the Holy Spirit's help. And we first come to God and confess the wrong to Him. And it does require both humility and honesty. And it gives the relationship, whatever relationship you are struggling with, the opportunity to begin anew. Because when you look at the conflicts of the world everywhere, they started with an offense. And if we truly are saying they will know us by our love, this is This is how we have to walk this out. Very practical steps. Here are some statements of genuine repentance examples. Mr. Chris, I know that my behavior was painful to you. I don't ever want to do that again. I'm open to any ideas you have on how I might change my behavior. Or, Ramon, I let you down by making the same mistake again. What would it take for you, for our relationships to rebuild your trust in me? So those are statements where you come in humility and you ask the other person, do you have any ideas? I bet they will. We come now to apology language number 5. And it is one of the deepest and hardest. But I believe if we operate in 1, 2, 3, and 4, we can learn apology number 5. And that is asking someone, I will say, Donna, will you please forgive me? That's how we do that one. And sometimes other people teach us how to speak their language. And if a person to any of them says no, can we consider that instead of seeing a red flag, when they do not respond as we might have hoped, they just need a little more time? I wanted to read you an excerpt from this book because there's an example about a husband and wife who had trouble with this. Her name was Angie. And she says here, the thing that bothers me is that Martin is not willing to ask me to forgive him. He says he is sorry, but I need him to ask. And then Martin said, it feels like you're trying to make me say those words. She says, I'm not trying to make you do anything, but it seems like you are not willing to admit you are wrong. I said I was wrong, he replied. Then why won't you ask me to forgive you, she pleaded. I'm willing to forgive you, I want to forgive you, but how can I forgive you when you don't want to be forgiven? It's as though you don't think you need forgiveness because you haven't really done anything wrong. I don't understand that. I know I did wrong, said Martin. It's just that asking you to forgive me is so hard. Tears came to his eyes and he said, I don't know why it is so hard. Here are some of the reasons why it is so hard. And it is hard sometimes. It shows that we have done something wrong, either intentionally or unintentionally. It may have been done in jest, may not be morally wrong like teasing, but asking forgiveness is an admission of our guilt, and we don't like to have those guilty feelings. It also shows that you are willing to put the future of the relationship in the hands of the offended person. You have done all that you've been able to do. You've admitted that you were wrong. You have expressed regret. You may have even offered to make amends. But the answer to the question, will you please forgive me, is not in our hands. It's in the hands of the offended person. It is their choice to grant forgiveness or not to forgive. And that fear of requesting forgiveness is often the primary barrier why we find that so hard. And it's especially difficult for those of us who have a tendency toward seeking control, because then we feel if we're in control, everything's going to be okay. And there's such a high degree of discomfort when we are not of control of situations. And you may have already done that to someone, and someone has said to you, no, I will not. And that comes to our fear of rejection. The person may say no, reject your request. And that can feel so personal. Like you think, what do you mean you don't want to forgive me? And being rejected is some of our greatest fears. We don't like that. We feel so vulnerable. And we are in that moment. We can also have a fear of failure. To admit you are wrong can feel like you have failed a person. I would say that's something that I struggle with too. And to admit you are wrong can feel like you have failed in keeping your moral beliefs. We feel, oh no, Lord, I failed you again. I've done this so many times. But the good news is, when we do that, it indicates to some of us that we want to see the relationship fully restored. So when we step out in faith with a Holy Spirit being brave, then we can remove that emotional barrier that offense created when we say, will you forgive me? Some people believe that admitting wrong holds meaning, I am a failure. We're not. We're human, and that's why Jesus died, to help us. He will help us, and we will grow. And if we failed, guess who restores everything and makes everything brand new? It's Jesus. Another thing to remember, we can't demand forgiveness. We can't expect it. You know what the nature of forgiveness is? It's a choice to lift the penalty and let the other person back into our life. We pardon the offense so that we might redevelop trust. You know what forgiveness says? I care about our relationship. I choose to accept your apology, and I no longer demand justice. We're giving a gift, and a gift demanded is really not a gift. Why is it sometimes hard to forgive? Because it can be costly, right? We have to lay aside our expectations of what we think the other person needs for a penalty. We must give up our desire for justice. We must relinquish our hurt and anger. We must give up our feelings of rejection and anger. And they must live with the consequences of wrong behavior, or sometimes we must live with the consequences of our wrong behavior. Granting forgiveness might require that follow-through with restitution and repentance happens first. Here is a statement of requesting forgiveness example. I'm sorry for the way I spoke to you. I know I was loud and harsh. You did not deserve that, Ben. It was wrong of me, and I want to ask you to forgive me. And what would Ben say? Thank you. Ben said, for everyone to hear, I forgive you. Forgiveness does not remove all the results of failure. Consequences and actions and words are never fully removed, even when forgiveness is granted, but the Holy Spirit can heal us. And forgiveness also does not remove all painful emotions. And I'm sure all of us here feel that. Forgiveness is not a feeling, however, rather a commitment to accept the person in spite of what he or she has done. It is a decision not to demand justice, but to show mercy. And forgiveness also does not remove the memory of the event. If we have chosen to forgive, this is what we do. We take the memory to God, along with the hurt, and acknowledge to Him what we are thinking and feeling. Ephesians 1:7 says, in Him, Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. God gives us the gift of forgiveness freely when we accept the saving grace of His Son, Jesus Christ. I would ask the worship team to come up. We are going to take a moment and pray for our hearts, especially into the language 5 of asking for forgiveness, or leaving things somewhere when we can't receive, when we can't ask the offended person for forgiveness. It's hard, but that's why Jesus died. Because on the cross he said, "It is finished." And we can thank him that by his grace, the offense has been forgiven. We can help ask God to help us. We're going to do that, to focus on the future and to take the obsession maybe of the hurts of the past that now have been forgiven. We come to the cross and we ask the Lord to help us. Philippians says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." So I would ask you, I would ask you maybe to keep sitting and put your hands in front of you and just ask the Lord if he, as sort of a release, put things into your hands that you need others to grant you forgiveness, or the things that you're holding maybe that you need to forgive others for, because I can't do that for you, but Jesus can. And we're going to pray, because we are a people that can walk in freedom because of what Jesus did. And when we live such a rich life of offering apologies, granting forgiveness, the people will look at us and say, "Wow, these people, we can tell by their love that they belong to Jesus Christ." So let us pray. Father, we come to the cross of your Son, Jesus. And we thank you that for all the hard things, all the hurts, all the offenses that have been thrown at us and that we have thrown at others inadvertently. We might not even know we've offended people. But I pray that in this moment, you would wash away all the hurt, all the pain. I pray that you would give us the grace to release other people from offenses. That we would be the people that would walk in victory, in joy. That when others look at us, look at our relationships with our friends, with our children, with our spouses, with our neighbors, that Holy Spirit, you would show us the things that we need to let go, because we can trust you to defend us. You are our defender. And there's nothing that you will not do to repay. We can leave that in your hands. We can completely trust you with that. We want to be a people who walk in freedom and who walk in joy. I pray for every person here that is really struggling with something, that Holy Spirit, you would just go deep and heal their heart. We just bring the oil of joy to go into all those deep, deep places and repair and heal. I thank you, Lord, that your love for us is so deep and that you want to see us leaping like cows in the stall, praising your name and walking in forgiveness. I pray that as we leave this place today, that we will leave singing and dancing, that all the chains that have bound us would just fall away, and that when we look at each other, we see you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Shauna.
Well, we just heard a message about apology and about making amends when there's brokenness or the potential for brokenness in a relationship. We need to make things right with the person so that we can have a good and healthy relationship with them. But for many people, there's a brokenness in their relationship with God, God their creator, because of sin in their lives and because they've never asked him to forgive them. But today I want to offer you the opportunity to make things right with him through repentance and by asking Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Repentance, as Pastor Chris pointed out, repentance is a word I think that some of us don't like very much because it's admitting wrongdoing, and it's really hard for us to admit when we've done something wrong, and especially maybe when we think that we haven't done anything wrong. Maybe they're thinking today that you haven't done anything that should cause a brokenness in your relationship with God. But the Bible says that there is no one righteous, no, not one, and that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says that we all, like sheep, have gone astray, each to his own way, and that God has laid on him, that's Jesus Christ, the iniquity or the sin of us all. And if we're honest, if we're being truthful, I don't think any one of us can deny that we are sinners, that we need to be put into right relationship with God. And the way we do that is by confessing our sins and asking Jesus Christ to forgive us and to come into our lives and be our Lord and Savior. You see, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the only way to the Father. And it's through Jesus Christ that the brokenness in our relationship with God is healed. The Bible says that God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him, through Jesus, the world might be saved. God loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. He wants to be with you forever. He wants to be in eternity with you, starting now until eternity, forever and always. He doesn't want to judge you or condemn you. He's not angry with you. He doesn't want to hurt you. He loves you, and he wants you to draw near to him. I wonder if there are even people who hear my voice today who have come to the place of understanding that what you are doing and the way you are living, it doesn't work. It's not working anymore. You're looking for a way out. You're looking for a change. Jesus is the way out. Jesus is the change you're looking for. Jesus is the one who brings healing. And repentance is so simple. God made it so easy for us. It's as easy as saying, "I'm sorry, please, and thank you. I'm sorry I have sinned and not followed your ways. I repent. Please forgive me. Thank you for forgiving me and coming into my life to be my Lord and Savior." And so I'm going to pray a prayer this morning, and if you are ready today to repent and to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and to accept that your sins are forgiven and to be put into right relationship with God, whether you're here in the building or whether you're listening online, repeat this prayer after me this morning. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry that I have lived my life apart from you. I have sinned, and today I repent. I recognize that I need you to be my Lord and Savior. Please come into my life today and forgive me. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me and for accepting me, for cleansing me from my sin, and for giving me a new life with you. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. The Bible says that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So if you prayed that prayer today, you are forgiven. It is immediate. It's a new day. You're a new creation. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Your sins are washed away, and you are as white as snow. It is as though you have never sinned. So if you prayed that prayer today, whether you're here in the building or whether you're listening online, we want to hear from you. Please tell somebody if you made that decision for Jesus today. Kathy and Isaac are going to be here this morning. They'd be happy to pray with you. And if you're watching online, contact the church, contact one of the pastors. Let us walk with you. Let us support you. Let us pray with you and rejoice with you. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.